I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. If you are new here, you will find all things fun, hippie, woo-woo, and metaphysical, plus happiness. I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you tuning into the show every week, and I try to bring you the most fabulous guests imaginable. If you are craving more happiness after listening to this podcast, check out beyoufindhappy.com, where you'll find all sorts of tangible tools, tips, tricks, and resources to incorporate more happiness in your life. Learn to speak your truth with grace and live a courageous life of authenticity. And remember, if you like this podcast, please click subscribe. Kathleen, welcome to the BU Find Happy podcast. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Oh, I am delighted to be here. It's great talking with you.
And we're going to talk about all sorts of incredible things about growing old and being happy. And I'm really excited this is coming up, actually, because for the first time in my life, and I'm turning 42 this November, I have some gray hairs popping up, and, my hairstylist is actually, she's on my Bunko group. Somehow at the last Bunko group, it kind of came up that it was like, oh yeah, you know, when I did your hair this last time, you had some gray hair that you hadn't had before. I said, oh, I'm going to blame that one on my husband. But you know, the ladies kind of started talking about just the aging gracefully thing. And, you know, I said, you know, that I think it's about how you carry yourself and this and that, but the reality is, as women, you know, we've been culturally appropriated to believe that, you know, aging is not a good thing per se. So I'm really excited that we're going to talk about this. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about how you got into this and you know, what you do and just kind of all of that stuff?
Yes, you used a term I don't like. And it's aging gracefully.
Okay.
Sloppily. Yeah, age the way you want to, Michaela. That is really my philosophy. And the reason I'm not fond of that phrase is when you ask older people to age gracefully, I think you're asking them to do something for the culture and not necessarily for themselves. You don't ask a child to be a child gracefully, but when you say to age gracefully, you are already sort of intimating that there's something wrong with aging because you have to do it gracefully. In no other life stage are we asked to behave a certain way. So that is all part of a philosophy that I started to develop when I was a little older than you. It was over 10 years ago, and I was about to turn 60. And I thought, boy, I need to come to terms with what it means to grow older, because society is not real happy with the idea that human beings age. And, you know, that's a problem. So I started doing some research. I thought, you know, surely there must be a better way to grow old in our culture besides just seeing it as a sort of sad ride on the downslope. Well, you know, I'm on my way out. I guess this is, I'll just have to buck up and do the best I can with it. So when I started doing this research, I discovered there were many ancient cultures that really prized elderhood. Elderhood was something people sort of couldn't wait to enter. elders were treated with respect, and they were considered at the top of the hierarchy in the culture. I also feel there are a lot of enduring cultures, Asian, African, Native American, that also treat elders with great respect and admire where they've been and put them, again, at the top of the hierarchy on a pedestal even. So I thought, well, something is wrong with our culture that we not only don't put older people on a pedestal, we, you know, expect them to try to emulate younger people. We expect them to go backward in time and try to recapture being younger, looking younger, feeling younger. And that is something that none of us can really do. So we sort of task older people with a role that is not only uncomfortable for many, it's almost impossible. So that's where my philosophy started.
I like that. And so how do you encourage women who maybe are struggling with this? What do you say?
Well, it's there's a lot of work to be done. I think what older people can do, if we really want to live a genuine, what I call elderhood, if we really want to experience what aging is all about and all the wonderful things that I think go with it, first of all, we as older people have to stop maligning the idea of growing old. I advocate that women my age, I'm going to be 73 in less than 2 weeks. I advocate that women my age tell their age. I think that the first step in feeling better about growing older is to spread the word that growing older is really okay. I don't have to hide it. I don't have to pretend I'm someone else. I don't need a facelift. I don't need a tummy tuck. I don't need to go out and run a marathon unless that's something I want to do. But I don't need to do it to prove that I am, quote, still young. That's not what aging is all about. So I think changing the culture, and Michaela, this is a big job. Changing the way we see aging does begin with older people who can show younger people. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of our taking pride in our age. We've lived a while. We know more than a lot of people on the planet, although I don't know that we're always giving credit for it. But we need to be the ones, older people, to lead the way and show younger people that aging has value. And as I said, I think that telling our age, no matter how old we are, is an important step in reclaiming our right to grow old. I'm going to be 73 in less than 2 weeks, and I'm happy to be 73. I'm proud that I have lived this long, and I have seen all the things and experienced all the things I have experienced. I am happy to share my knowledge of that, my experience, my wisdom with younger people. And I think older people need to rethink how they think about their aging selves. We don't have to keep up with young people. That isn't the point. The point is to be comfortable with the life stage we are in.
I really like that. I like that, you know, say your age, you know. I'd like this concept a lot, but I think that people are pretty terrified of this, you know.
Yeah, we're terrified of it because we have a youth-oriented culture. And we sort of think that the life cycle ends at about middle age. And, you know, when you turn 50 or so, that you are supposed to start doing things to make sure your younger appearance doesn't fade, to make sure that you are active and competing and doing things the way younger people do them. We don't really, in this culture, have a vision of the whole life cycle, which is childhood, adolescence, adulthood, which includes middle age, and early elderhood, and then elderhood, which I am in myself. I'm beginning to get into those later years. And because we don't have a whole view of the life cycle, this culture is really missing a lot from what we could gain from the wisdom, experience, perspective of elders. Stop trying to make older women try to look young forever. Stop trying to encourage older men to go out and continue to compete as if they were in middle age, or to feel that if they're not out there doing all the things younger people do athletically, they're not aging well. We don't use the same standards to measure children that we do to measure adults. We don't say, well, children are tiny, what's wrong with them? Well, they're children. Well, aging people are different too, and we need to take that into account, and we need to see aging as part of the human experience, not something to deny, but something to immerse ourselves in.
And so, you know, some people think, like, for example, I know some people that have had some birthdays recently, and they say, okay, so now I'm in this space where it's like, I'm old, I can't do these things that I used to do, my body is failing me, I, you know, have less time left on earth, and I've spent most of it working, or, you know, it's just things are not working as well as they used to work for me. What do you say to these people that feel this way? What do you say to people that are struggling with the idea that, you know, time is limited?
Yeah, I believe me. I think about that often. I have a lot of longevity in my family, but nonetheless, even if I live as long as my grandfather, who was 104, I've got 31 years left. And that's if I do extraordinary things and live to be that long. So, you know, I think all of us who are my age are well aware that time is not stretching out endlessly before us. I think, first of all, that as we age, we do need to come to terms with the fact that, most of the people my age can see their own mortality, can feel it. But I think also as we age, we have a more sanguine attitude about it. I wouldn't expect you, Michaela, to feel the same way about death as I do, because
I'm kind of an anomaly. I'm kind of an anomaly. Aside from the idea of leaving my young son behind, I'm like ready for whatever. I'm an anomaly. I'm just grateful for the days I've had to this moment. And, you know, I don't want to live life missing opportunities to enjoy what I have in this present. And I'm okay with whatever happens. And I know that we are infinite beings of light and that this isn't the end, it's the beginning. So, you know, I'm good with whatever, but I realize I'm a weird person.
You know, my philosophy is very similar to yours. I believe we're all energy and that the whole universe is energy. And since energy can't be either created or destroyed, we are infinite. And it sounds like you kind of believe that too. So I also have that attitude, which I'm sure you find comforting and I find comforting. However, you know, I kind of like it here, and and I don't know if I'm quite ready to step into the next realm, But I would say again to, as you were asking, well, what do you do when you feel I'm getting old and, you know, life doesn't stretch out before me as it once did? I think it's okay to, think about loss. I think it's okay to grieve, our youth. I think that it is natural. And there are many times when I will look in a photograph album and think, wow, you know, I used to look like that. I like to think I still look good, but I'm also in my 70s. So I
bring up an interesting point. This is important. Listen to this. I had this realization not too long ago. I used to look at pictures of myself today. I'd be like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. Until I started looking at pictures of myself today from 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I realized the pictures I hate today are going to be the photos I love tomorrow.
I love that.
It's so true.
It is. And you know, Michaela, didn't we worry about, I mean, my skin broke out in high school and I mean, it wasn't horrible, but I did not have that gorgeous, smooth, you know, estrogen pulsing everywhere kind of skin. And I used to think, oh, I look so horrible. Well, you know what? I didn't look that horrible. But from that young vantage, that was all I had to compare myself with, were other people my age. So now when I look back, and you're so right, I think, you know, I looked okay. I even looked kind of cute. So I think that is very true. And again, I think it's okay to look back and to wish we could sometimes relive those times. I think that's perfectly normal. But I do think that what we in our culture don't seem to understand is there is a role for people as they age. There are things that older people can do that younger people can't. We have the wisdom and maturity to be much more self-reflective. And I'm not saying that maybe you don't or certain younger people don't also have this ability, but it really takes a lot of years to be able to look inward and see who you really are and begin to put together the pieces of what is life all about? Why am I here? How do I fit in here? How do I fit into the grand design? And these are big questions. And we should give older people credit for being able to ask and even answer these big questions. We put way too much emphasis on appearance, on physical agility, and not nearly enough emphasis on, you know, what's going on internally with people. And that's where older people shine. Very hard for younger people to do all the things the way that people do and do it nearly as well.
I'd say I agree with you, but my son, oh my gosh, it's like he's a 90-year-old in a 9-year-old body. I don't know what it is about this new generation of kids, but they are so insightful. It's insane.
Wow. I'm impressed. Well, maybe he's an old soul.
That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of old souls are being born right now.
Mm-hmm. And we're fortunate to have them.
Oh boy. So fortunate. Yeah. The stuff that he can articulate, when I'm in a bad place and can't see it, you know, it's pretty impressive.
Wow. Well, you are fortunate too to have him.
I'm very fortunate that he picked me.
Yes, you are.
I super duper needed, I needed him as a son in my life. And I think this is one of the beautiful things about aging. You know what I mean? Is that we get to have these experiences that we don't get to have as young people.
Yeah, I think that is very true. You know, it was Sigmund Freud who said, it is not appropriate for younger people to particularly be self-absorbed. they should be taking in information and seeing what the world is all about and experiencing things. But it is most appropriate for older people to be self-absorbed because I think in part, you know, we're preparing for the next phase. I mean, we have to kind of look inward. We have to be comfortable with our own spirituality. We have to let our eccentricities out and let them be revealed to the rest of the world so people can see, you know, growing older means becoming more who you are. And it often includes being a little eccentric or speaking your mind. And these are all things that are what I consider the joys of aging. I have to tell you, I feel so much freer today than I felt 40 years ago. Much freer to be who I am, to say what I want to say. And I also have a lot less time to spend with superficial conversation and activities that aren't really very meaningful. As we get older and we see sort of the end, then we want to pick and choose more about what is it I really want? Who do I really want to spend time with? And these are fortunately things that when you're older, you have the you have the wherewithal to go ahead and do. I can choose my friends more carefully. I'm not in a work environment where I have to make everybody happy. So there's a lot of freedom that comes with aging, I think.
I think there is a lot of freedom that comes with aging. I do think so. But how about for women who, you know, see themselves in the mirror and think, oh, I've got more gray hair, or, oh, I've got more wrinkles? How do people process that? What can they say? What can they do? And we've all felt, every woman on the planet has felt it at some point.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think part of it is we need to have different role models. As we begin to age, we need to look for other people who can be the people we may want to emulate, or we may feel better when we look in the mirror if we think about these people. And I'm not necessarily talking about actors who have facelifts and, you know, are perpetually young looking. I'm taught what I do. This is something I do, and it's so much fun. I will, when I'm reading the paper or I'm online or whatever, and I see an interesting looking older person, particularly women, but it doesn't have to be a gorgeous woman. It's just a woman who looks like someone I would like to know. I save these photos. I save these clippings. And, you know, I have them in a little folder, and they're kind of my role models. So when I look in the mirror and I see, you know, a face that isn't as obviously firm as it used to be, I think about them, and it helps me to feel better about where I am. I mean, we are bombarded with impossible images to live up to. Even young women are bombarded with this, and even though their bodies are smooth and tight and gorgeous, they still feel intimidated by, you know, a Kim Kardashian or something. Oh, I'll never have a waist that tiny or whatever. But I think having new role models helps. I also think having curiosity about our own aging selves. I think this is so important. Rather than looking in the mirror and saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe how I've aged, I sort of like to look in the mirror and say, oh, so this is where I'm going. Oh, this is interesting. I've got a few gray hairs here. I have a few more lines around my eyes. Oh, I wonder what I'll look like in 10 years. And I know it's hard in this culture to do that, but we really have to distance ourselves a little bit from the, you know, the marketing that goes on that permeates everything we do and that tells us that we have to be forever young when, frankly, that is not possible, and I don't think it's making any of us very happy.
Well, I'll tell you what. I see an older woman that looks beautiful, and I just think, God, that's just so stunning. That's just so amazing. And then that's what, you know, I strive for in my life. So I know what you're talking about in that way. I think of women over the years that, you know, have just had that very natural glow and ability to just look absolutely stunning. There's one on Instagram. She is at White Hair Wisdom. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I think so, yes. And I see them on Pinterest all the time, too. I'm always clicking on those. I mean, they know what I like. So they're showing me all these fabulous women all over the world who look great. And they have silver hair. And the only reason I don't have silver hair is because, and I guess there's nothing I can do about it. I don't have many gray hairs yet.
Right.
And I don't know why, but I just lap that up. So mm-hmm. You see these women on Instagram and you're thinking that's where you want to be, right?
Yep. 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 That's what I think. And it's not about like look per se. It's the way they're carrying themselves. It's an energy that's emulating that just says, I'm confident, I'm happy, and I'm good with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That is certain confidence. And again, that is something that does come with having many years under your belt. I mean, you just know yourself and you do get to the point where, well, I don't have to please anybody. I mean, when I was younger, I was in television and I used to feel I couldn't go out of the house without makeup on. I thought, well, what if I see someone? I mean, I was really, you know, I was really absorbed with that image that unfortunately when you're on television, you have to kind of be that way in order to stay, you know, relevant. But today, I don't even think about it. I mean, I've always liked clothes, so I always try to put on something that I want to wear. But if I don't look perfect, my hair's not totally clean, if I don't have all the makeup on, I don't care. I just go and then I am free to just, you know, observe other people and to be in the moment and not worry about how I'm looking. It's a wonderful place to be.
It really is. Well, listen, how can people get a hold of you and learn more about what you have going on? And of course, we always put it in the show notes, but for those who might be driving, how can they find you?
Okay. My website is www.growoldbehappy.com. So growoldbehappy.com is where you'll find blogs and you'll find information about the book. You can order the book on growoldbehappy.com. Reclaim Your Right to Grow Old is the title. And you can order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through Outskirts Press, my publisher.
Perfect. So wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on Be You, Find Happy, and talking all things growing old today.
Oh, it was fun. Thank you so much for having me.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.